All right. Welcome to another episode of Tell Carl Something. It has been a couple of months. I have had so many amazing things in both senses of the word happen to me in those few months, the good and the bad. So I'm really glad to be able to interview and hear from, I would say up until today, I would have said June. Mm-hmm. But now that we're going to be friends, I'm going to say Katie.
Right.
How does that sound?
We can use June for the purpose of this just because that is kind of what I have coined during my time in the Twin Cities.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
We have a general topic of massage and massage therapy to bring up. Was there anything else that we hadn't really gone into that? We talked for a little bit before recording and I forgot to ask.
It's going to go a lot of directions.
Okay.
Like, it's very easy to tangent about massage.
Yeah. Okay. So here's my first question. What does Reddit get right or wrong about massage?
Well, I'm going to bamboozle you and say that my first question is, what are some misconceptions about massage that you got through the media or through living your life that you had before you started getting massage?
Yeah. Okay. One of the ones that is embarrassing, and I feel like it can't really be my fault, but it's also like, really? You really thought that happened? Is I thought, because I was an adult, full-on adult before getting a massage. Didn't have the money for that. I didn't know if that was real. I thought that was something like Fraser Crane got, and that's it. Or like very injured, you know, like you need physical therapy, whatever. But I thought it was like way more common to have like sexual things happen in massages. It's probably all of the stupid, icky reasons behind that, that I thought that. But no, that has not been my experience. So that's probably the biggest misconception.
And that's that happens on Reddit all the time. A lot of people go into the massage subreddit asking like, my massage therapist did this. Is that okay? And the answer is almost always no.
Yeah.
And so one of the reasons that I wanted to kind of talk about massage more is because I think it's a Netflix series. I'm not totally sure. But it kind of riled up the massage community because it is portrayed in a sex work way. And I have no issues with sex work whatsoever. I just don't happen to work in that field.
Yeah.
And so I was born and raised in Las Vegas. And obviously the incidence of people getting confused about how massage works was significantly higher.
Okay.
Whereas in the Twin Cities, I tend to gravitate more towards places that appear more medical.
Yeah.
And then a lot of the people that I've worked with have kind of given me kind of ways to navigate that by like when you're doing an intake, what your verbiage is, what the questions that you're asking, just so that you can kind of get rid of any misconceptions right off the bat. But like I did read on Reddit, someone said something like, well, whether or not you wear your undergarments is code to your, there is no code.
Mm.
The code is talk to me like I'm a person.
Yeah.
And I will let you know what you can expect in the session.
Okay. Gotcha. It was shattered the first time I wasn't expect. I remember being embarrassed. Like there were no expectations. I wasn't actively thinking of these things, but I remember being embarrassed at how much I was like, what might be considered? I didn't know what was happening there. And I think it's just media or like me being naive or me not really thinking about it. And I wonder how many people that plays into their understanding of massage or how detrimental that maybe is.
I think a lot. Like you see it in Schitt's Creek. You see it in Friends.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. This is, and it's, I love Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, you guys too. Come on. I felt very betrayed. I was can we like, and it was interesting because I think, his partner is kind of saying, he was like, well, I gave him a really big tip and then made eye contact with him and told him to treat you very special.
Mm.
And I was just, oh. And that's the other thing. Like, the idea that there's some kind of code going on is rough. And then also, like, if it arises in a session, confronting it is something I've always had a huge problem with.
Mm.
Because generally, if people are misconstruing things, it's going to fall on a spectrum.
Okay.
And their behavior might not be something that I can address without making it awkward for them.
Uh-huh.
And if it goes poorly, but it's not something that would be worth ending the session over, now we have like another 45 minutes to just sit with this.
Oh, shit.
And I,
uh-huh,
I feel pretty confident about my social skills in a massage setting and reading the room.
Yeah.
As a person, my level of social awkwardness is very high.
Okay.
And so if I'm in a situation where I'm uncomfortable, my
yeah.
ability to understand how to act is going to go out the window very quickly.
Sure.
Thankfully, I haven't had any huge incidents in my career. I've been doing this for 10 years.
Yeah.
But I do, like, usually when I get to know a client a little bit better, I let them know, like, if you see me in public, like at Target, please feel free to say hello.
Okay.
But please also don't expect the conversation to go well at all. I'm not going to know what to do.
Yeah.
I'm very nearsighted. So, like, if we manage to get through the initial Minnesotan mm-hmm. greeting, I'll be like, oh, how you doing? See those Vikings, bud, or
yeah.
something?
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Now I'm going to walk through the store, probably not wearing corrective lenses, wondering if I'm seeing you again and if it's the appropriate time to say, like, oh, we can't keep doing this or we can't keep meeting. Like I don't want to go through it.
Uh-huh. I can relate to that from being a teacher and having, like, sightings in the wild.
Right.
Like, oh, Mr. Gronwall.
Hey.
Hey there. Like at Target. Target's definitely...
Target is where we all go.
Target's the one that it happened at the most. It did.
I have one particular story that okay. I tell to kind of demonstrate this for people.
Okay.
So this was back when I lived in St. Paul, and I was having, like, an off day. It was rainy.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted Doritos and Mountain Dew.
Sure.
And I did not want to not be in pajamas.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the Midway Target just in sweats, you know. I don't get a basket, which is a really bad idea. So I'm just carrying all of my snacks. Very awkwardly, and I run into a client and his wife, and I'm like, oh, hey, and they're like, hey, and then the conversation dipped, and I was covered in sweat in about 30
yeah.
seconds.
Yeah.
And so my massage brain was like, tell an anecdote,
okay.
because with clients who are open to it, I tend to reserve the best anecdotes for when I'm doing something that is more difficult to breathe through.
Okay.
So... I start telling this anecdote, and it's about my time at a chain that I won't name,
mm-hmm.
and we had Client Appreciation Day. Have I told you the story?
Maybe.
This is wild.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think you did, yeah. But I just try to,
it's such an asterisk, like, this is what will happen to you mm-hmm. if you speak to me. If you're okay with that. Balls in your court.
Yeah, yeah. Here are all the pieces. Yep.
So we had Client Appreciation Day, and I come in for this, and I'm like, oh, cool. You know, mini donuts, infused water, the usual. And then there's
right.
like, on another table, there's a silver tray of long-stem red roses. And I say to my clinic manager at the time, I was like, what's this all about? And she's like, well, when you're done with your client, you're going to hand them, as they come out, a single rose. And I was like, no, I'm not. No. No. I was like, I work on a lot of gentlemen of
yep.
varying status
yep.
in my age range. And I'm already working to not get their wires crossed, as we discussed previously.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not trying to send mixed signals here.
Yep, yep.
And so I will not be presenting them with a rose, because this is not The Bachelor.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like
you
some...
You did not win anything.
AI... weird combination of, like...
Absolutely. Like, can you imagine how confused you would be? Like, oh...
Honestly, I probably would have just been like, thank you for the flower. But as we discussed before we started recording, maybe a real healthy dose of me realizing some of the naivete that I walked through the world with was in order.
It's like a child. Like, here's a dandelion for you. Like,
yeah.
So... while I say no to this and
sure.
illustrate my reasons for it, she
yep.
leaves the table up, you know, for the rest of the staff to maybe dive into. That's their
business.
Do you
think anyone was psyched to do it, or just nobody was? Are you conflict averse, do you think? It sounds like no, but also sounds like maybe yes.
It depends on
yeah,
the
okay.
setting. Mm-hmm. If I don't, pardon my salty language, I don't shit where I eat.
Yes.
So I'm not here to fight my family, my coworkers, my friends.
Yes.
I do very poorly with that kind of interpersonal conflict.
Yes.
If it's a stranger, you know.
Like at a wild game?
Yeah, I played hockey.
Yeah.
I will haymake you
yeah.
gently and legally.
Yeah.
So one person did kind of dive into this, and he was a very sweet, young male therapist
mm-hmm.
who looked like if like Bemidji was a person. Like he had rosy red cheeks. He brought in like deer venison all the time. He was a gem. Uh-huh. And most of his clientele was like widows from Wayzata.
Wonderful.
And my favorite thing to do that day was to lurk in the hallway and watch him present these ladies with roses. Because I was like, how many wills are you in now? Mm-hmm. Because they would, their little hands would fly to their chest and they'd be, oh my goodness, you shouldn't. Like he went out there and got that. Like he went to 1-800-Flowers and got them. Uh-huh. They were so excited.
That's fantastic.
They were verklempt. And I just ate that up. I loved watching that all day. I was like, I'm not going to do this, but Godspeed.
It is the person. It reminds me of when my assistant principal asked me to dress code 13-year-old girls, and I said, I won't. And the more senior, elderly female staff member next door to me said, I agree with that choice, Carl. Nobody wants that, you know? Well, the assistant principal wanted it because it was a lot of work. But the dress code was sexist, so.
TSA, you know, they are not assigning me a male to pat me down for obvious reasons.
There were just so many reasons for me not to do that.
Right, like, yeah. Where do I start?
Yeah, like, I'm definitely not doing that.
It's hard enough.
Yeah.
And it's like, those decisions are very easy to make. Like, when she smilingly told me what the, no.
Yeah.
So I tell this anecdote to these two people who are just, they just wanted to come to Target.
They just,
all just wanted to be at Target and now we're here and this is happening. And so I just went.
Like by the cereal aisle? Yeah, yeah.
So bad.
Sure.
So I was just like, anyway, it's good to see you. Uh-huh. And I left and I was like, they should let me steal.
Yeah.
I couldn't get through the checkout fast enough.
Yeah, for sure. The 24-hour cub.
Oh, no.
On the my friends and I would call it the Spicy Cub on 46th and Hiawatha in Minneapolis. I would go there a lot late at night. I was working out like very early hours when I was especially between the writing gigs that I had. And I ran into a former student.
At what hour?
We'll just use his first initial, B. At about, I would say, 12:45.
A.M.?
Yeah.
He
was 18 or 19 at this point, so he was no longer a middle schooler. But it was a really sweet moment because he was still really excited to see his teacher that made him feel special.
This
and like,
went in such a more wholesome direction.
Well, he was stoned out of his mind.
Oh, okay.
And he had a frozen pizza.
Nice.
Ranch dressing.
Love that for him.
Mm-hmm. And some hot sauce. And his girlfriend was holding it, and he was like, Mr. Grumba. And it's so amazing when they say that, because my name is...
Because you know where they came from.
But my name is Carl, and I was like, not fair, you aged, and there's more acne, or less acne, depending on the person. And they just look a little different. But then in the conversation, it slowly dawned on all of us that not only were those two high, and it was becoming obvious that I might know that, the food choice that they had was obviously high snacks, but then they kind of like looked me up and down and were like, what are you doing at the Spicy Cub at 12:45 a.m.? And that conversation I decided needed to end as quickly as is humanly possible.
And how did you do that in a tactful way?
I think I started asking them about like literacy gains.
That's a great way to end
to like bring it back into teaching. And they're like, you still care about us to be able to? And I do actually care that he's a good reader. I hope he still is. But it was also a strategy to end the conversation.
That's brilliant.
He didn't have any desire to talk about his literacy skills at that moment.
Well, it's like when, you know, we're always taught as women, if we encounter someone that we fear may be mentally unstable, you just out-crazy them. So you just, like, out-white-collared them. Like, let's talk about calculus.
Yeah, I mean, best wishes. It is one of those things
where... Not best wishes.
Well, for my students, yes. Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know how many teachers want to run into a student in the wild. And I wonder how similar that is for a massage therapist.
So I'm really lucky at the point where every client I see, I'm pretty much excited to see.
Awesome.
Like, I have the luxury of being pretty thoroughly booked. Mm-hmm. And I work at SUNU, and I've had 3 jobs in the Twin Cities. I've been here 9 years, and each time I switch, I get this feeling like, how am I going to get clients as good as I did at the last job? Mm. And, like, that's also something I do. I think it's really scummy to poach when mm-hmm. you're leaving a place, especially since, like, that business generated those clients for you. They are their clients.
Yeah.
And so that's part of why the name June works really well, because I can kind of put the ball in their court and be like, look, I appreciate that you want to have a continuation of care. I can't tell you where I'm going, mm-hmm. but my name is June. I'm on LinkedIn. There aren't a lot of massage therapists in the Twin Cities.
Yep.
That way it's completely your business, because, like I said, I don't like to bite the hand that feeds. So,
yeah, it would be disrespectful, I think. I mean, I'm not in the industry, but even hearing you describe it, it sounds like poaching's the right word for it, maybe, because it feels wrong immediately. I'm like, don't do that.
It does. And it just feels kind of gross and desperate if you're, you know, let's say you put in your 2 weeks and you're just telling every client, I'm going here, you should follow me. Like, who is to say that they are seeing you specifically? Because when people pick out a therapist that they want to see regularly,
yeah,
there are a lot of things that go into that. And you don't know how committed your client is to you, and making an assumption is a really good way to make things awkward for everybody.
Sure. What if they were like, actually, I just work down the block and this is convenient and I like you, but I'm not driving.
Yeah, it's part of
extra
being
distance or whatever. Yeah,
really thoughtful. Like, just don't put someone else in an awkward position, especially when they're already, like, being in a massage room as a client is very vulnerable.
Yeah.
You disrobe, you get into a prone position, and you are around a stranger that you are trusting to not do something else.
Mm.
And so I think that language during a session is really big, because I have some clients who really like to chat. I have some who need it to be quiet. I have some who need to cry. I have some who need to be listened to.
Yep.
And, like, for a lot of them, it's going to be different every time, because life happens.
Yep.
And being cognizant of that and the power dynamic is, like, that's sacred stuff.
That's really interesting. I would love to hear more about that. I think to close on the first misconception, I think that's just maybe juvenile or ignorant to, but I think it's common to be like, okay, that's not what I'm there for. That's not what I'm thinking, but it's like, you have to kind of, like, cross that bridge.
And then if you come in and you ask about that, that's no harm, no foul. You're like, hey, because usually when I see people that don't get massage a lot, one of my questions is, what are you expecting to happen? What is your idea of this?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't know, mm-hmm. and it helps me to manage expectations if we have that conversation.
Well, I think it's beautiful to hear you describing things like the language. You know, sacred, some people would be like, okay, that's too woo-woo or whatever.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but I like that kind of stuff when it comes to, I guess, healing or, you know, restoration. But what I'm interested in, what you said immediately, is, like, when you said there's a power dynamic, but also, let's say somebody comes in for a massage, mm-hmm. and how much of that is, like, you know what's going to happen before you walk in the room, and how much of that is discovered as the first 20 minutes go by? I guess that's where I'm going with that question.
For me?
Or I guess for you, and also if there's a consensus, I just don't know. Like, what's the water cooler talk amongst therapists about?
We are also very careful when it comes to discussing clients, like, even in emails. So the way things work at Sunu, if you're getting care from a chiropractor, a therapist, and an acupuncturist, we can see the notes that are taken, and we take very rigorous, very clinical notes.
Okay.
And so I think that if we need to discuss a client, usually the doctor or the other practitioner and I will go somewhere private and we'll talk about it. But if we need to email for some reason, like, we're also very careful with that. We don't use people's full names. We'll use initials or other markers so that the other practitioner can look up that information. But it's very, like, that is all taken very seriously.
So this is another similarity with schools then, because with schools, student names, student emails, specific student ID numbers, those are all PII. Do you have to scrub documents the way that, like?
Yes.
Interesting.
So
that's really cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Before we switched to more of an online charting, it was shredding documents, and we were very, very rigorous about that.
Sure.
So, like, anything that couldn't leave the building or be transferred, like, it was very, I mean, that's another thing that kind of endeared me to Sunu in general, was that, like, there are no corners cut. Like, those things were getting shredded. You had to sit there and watch it.
There have to be places, not that I'm asking you to name them, or not even that they're local, where the exact opposite is the case.
I haven't seen it, to be honest with you. Like, the other two places that I worked did also started with paper charting and then went to online charting. Hmm. And that was all still, it's all password protected.
Huh.
It's everywhere I've been, I've seen pretty intense, like, paper guarding. And I like that because, you know, if we're being laissez-faire with a client's information, like, what does that mean for me?
I guess I'd never even really, until you said it just now, I've never considered how that would be a part of your day.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I used to complain about note-taking, but I was having a conversation with a police officer who was telling me about he had to fight a lady, right, and put her in the car, and then he had to pull out his laptop and start tip-typing about, you know, like, doing fan fiction about what we just did.
Oh, boy.
And, like, you actually have to find a creative way to say, like, I put my face in their car window, and this lady told me to come get some. Like, I was like, okay, well, my notes aren't that bad then.
Sure, sure.
But it is interesting because, like, I have to find ways to describe muscles and the condition of them.
Do you have some go-tos?
Yes. Okay. But it's also like if another practitioner uses a word that wouldn't normally be used for muscle, like plucky, I know good and well what she's talking about. I know exactly what she means.
Okay,
I know what a plucky muscle is.
What is a plucky muscle?
It feels like a banjo string.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
And it's because, like, a lot of what's going on in our head during the massage doesn't have language.
Sure. Sure.
And so when people are like, what do you feel? What's going on in my muscles? I have to liken it to something else. Thankfully, I'm good at that.
Yeah.
A big go-to is taking 394E to 94E.
Oh.
Where no one can zipper merge. Everybody already merged 9 miles ago.
Oh, anyone local just got stressed out.
Right. We've all spent
anybody who's even 20 driven
to
through,
30 minutes there.
It's a hateful place.
It really is. And it's meant to describe, like, this is a point of congestion in your body where your muscle has been hypertonic for a long time. Muscle waste has gathered up. It's tight. It doesn't want to move.
Sure.
There you go.
Where in the body might that be? Is it the back?
Rhomboids. Yeah.
Okay.
So when I hug people physically, I can't. I'm not a good hugger. It's like hugging a robot.
Okay.
But, like, when I go to put my hands behind someone's back, I can't help but, like, just touch their little rhomboids and, like, just because they're just there. And then people go, oh my God, how did you know? Everybody is tight.
Is it kind of like how Paul Hollywood or Prue Leith, like, they,
hate that I completely understand what you're talking about already.
I almost just said fingered. I'm not trying to say it. They do that in that show, by the way. They're, like, overtly making puns all the time.
Oh,
like,
yes.
That in that show.
But right. Noel Fielding, yeah.
Yeah. When they open up bread, never in a million years would I have ever thought to, like, inspect the bread the way they do. But the way that they can't help themselves. They're like, oh, I want to see how,
like, how when I push it,
is it proved enough or whatever? Is it kind of like that where once you have the knowledge, the keys, you can't help but touch someone's back and go, like, oh, there's data.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All you can give me, like, a very open rundown of what you do for the day. Like, during an intake, like, you're like, oh, I have a desk job. Okay, so hip flexors, low back. And especially, like, I love doing postpartum work.
Oh, okay.
And on a female caregiver, typically, depending on what they are doing, there are some really obvious spots to go to.
Gotcha.
Just because you can visualize, like, what you're doing with your body at that point in time.
Yeah.
So you're hunched like this, your pecs are going to shorten, your rhomboids are going to
lengthen. Yeah, yeah.
And it's all based on weight loads that your body is not supposed to be taking. So, like, obviously we're not supposed to be sitting at a desk all day. Our bodies were not designed for that.
Sure, sure.
And so when your hips are flexed, which is a seated position, it's going to start to tug on your low back. And that's why people tend to have low back instability very quickly. P.S. If anyone listening has a wallet in their back pocket, please take that out.
Okay.
And stop living your life that way. Full stop.
What? Okay, why?
It's a really easy way to just...
Because you sit and it's...
Yeah, one of your hips is now slightly off kilter. And if you put that many pounds of pressure on it for a very long time, things are going to start to hurt.
I had a wallet in my back pocket until senior year of high school, I think.
That's so when we went into massage school, the very first thing our core teacher said was, gentlemen, take your wallets out of your back pockets. And yeah, about seven people started squirming.
Yeah, that would have been me. Yeah.
Yeah. Massage school is like Hogwarts, by the way. I just want to put that out there.
Okay. It's like the 13th thing you've said that I want to completely spin off on.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't topic this because it's going to go in. Like a tree.
Okay. Is it Hogwarts in the sense that there are houses? Or I want to hear more about that, please.
It's Hogwarts in the sense that it's very magical.
Like, ah, okay.
So I went to cosmetology school before that.
Sure.
And it was rough.
I've heard cosmetology school is a little bit like reality TV.
Yes.
A little bit?
We had the cosmetology school I went to that I will not name had been vetted for a reality TV show. And a couple of the alumni have been on the Bad Girls Club.
Ah.
So there was a bar next door.
Just bangers all around.
It was intense. And it was, I learned how to color my hair, which I appreciate. Mm-hmm. And I learned how to get through a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Because I was not my best self.
Gotcha.
Going through it. And it was very, very, very hard. And also, like, I didn't know what I was doing. I don't know if you, like, have you ever, I went most of my life not being naturally good at things.
Sure.
And cosmetology school was another example. Like, this is just not happening.
I would have no clue how to put on my own makeup or do my own hair.
Some people just walked in there and started, like, giving Vidal Sassoon haircuts. Like,
let alone on someone else.
Right. Must
be
nice. Must be nice to not look dumb all the time.
Yeah, okay.
So I got used to that. If my daughter ever tries to embarrass me in public, she's got a really high bar.
Okay.
So going to massage school was so different because I was getting positive feedback for my work. And I was like, is this what this is like?
Oh, it just came naturally.
Yeah. I enjoyed myself. For whatever reason, I seemed to do well.
What was your first area of, like, success then in massage school where you realized, okay, this is actually, like, I'm clicking.
Clinic. So I don't believe the people around me if they're going to flatter me. So, like, we went in and we had to massage our classmates. So they would take a huge room and they would fill it with 15 tables because there were about 30 of us, and we would pair up and we would each take turns. And I went into massage school like, oh, no, don't touch me. Mm. Please don't ever touch me. I don't want to be touched. I am here to learn to give a massage, not to receive. That didn't go well for me.
Is it important to be able to receive a massage in order to give a good massage?
I don't know. Huh. I will say, though, I have a move from every teacher that taught me that I still rely on sometimes.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Like, we steal moves like crazy.
Are there signature moves?
Yes.
Is there a place that, like, lay people could learn about this?
No.
So it's Hogwarts, okay.
All right. So, like, for instance, I had
So they do spells?
Yes. I had a very, very rigid, snobby, amazing teacher that I loved because he was having none of it.
Mm.
Just in general, none of it, ever.
Uh-huh.
And he was my favorite for this reason. I was like, you are not interested in our shenanigans on any day.
He was interested in you, like, your efficacy, or, like, what? What drove him?
He was very rigorous on body mechanics.
And gotcha.
Body mechanics are very important because if you don't have good body mechanics, you will be retiring shortly.
Mm-hmm.
But he would do a move where when someone is face down on the table, he would slip his forearm in between their neck and their shoulder and do jazz hands.
For what purpose? Because it sounds like this person wouldn't just be doing it for flair.
So vibration in general can be used to kind of trick your muscle. So let's say you have a muscle that is afraid of you being hurt and it's very, very tight, especially in people who have been in car accidents. If you kind of give that muscle so much sensory input that it gets confused, its first instinct is usually to relax.
Okay. Cool.
Doesn't work all the time. I tried to do that on someone's hip. Huh. It was my former lead therapist, and she literally goes, "Does anybody like that?"
Oh, my God.
I was like, well, we won't be doing that again.
Yeah, not on you. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. I know I originally was going to bring up another misconception, but I feel like there are so many things that you said to
build off. We haven't even gone into like the male female therapist situation.
Okay, sure. Right? Sure, yeah.
So I mean, much
for
material.
A lot of people it does matter.
Yes.
And some people it doesn't matter. What's your opinion there?
My husband is a male massage therapist.
Okay.
So we went to massage school together.
Yeah.
It is important to note that I also went onto a list that made it so that I couldn't be paired with male students because I wasn't comfortable with it. Mm. I wasn't comfortable being massaged, but I was like, absolutely not with strange men.
Yeah.
And we wound up pairing up. So we had another course called professional development,
okay,
which was hilarious for a lot of reasons.
Professional development. Okay.
Yeah. It was a great like smorgasbord of things.
Yeah.
But he always says that I tell this wrong. I'm going to live in my delusion and tell this how I remember it.
Sure.
But
he's not here.
Right. Maybe he will be. he's going to have to be on this podcast just to correct me.
Sure. They'd be like, you don't
He literally said, I was like,
understand.
Are you going to listen to it? He was like, what if I hate it? I was like, he probably will.
All right. Well, you know, here goes.
Get ready, hater.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So we had to do chair massage. Okay. I have a lot of feelings about chair massage. We won't go there.
Is that where you lean over the thing?
Yeah, you sit on a weird chair and the dragon acupuncture guys put their elbow in you in the mall.
Uh-huh. Yep, mm-hmm. I've seen that.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so they didn't have that list in professional development. Half of us went to get the chairs. Half of us waited to pair up with the people walking in.
Okay.
He asked to pair up with me. I sized him up and I was like, you seem all right.
Okay.
And then I paired with him. I gave him the world's worst massage because I was sweating and nervous and
sure.
very snobby and wanted to like back up all of my talk.
Yeah.
And didn't at all.
You just biffed it.
It was a mess.
Yeah.
I think he talked to me after that out of like sheer curiosity. Like, what's wrong with it?
How did you know you were giving a bad massage?
Oh,
what does that
that's
feel like?
Hard. You can just tell. It's sort of like,
huh.
I can't sing, but I imagine that if you were just like singing in the shower, you'd have an idea if you were messing it up.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah,
I can
see
that.
This is just not my best work.
Because some people probably are, and this is, I don't mean, there's, like you said, you warned me before we even, there's tangents everywhere with this conversation,
right.
But if someone is just completely still and silent, that's not necessarily a sign that they hate the massage.
No, but we're also paying attention to your breathing. What your muscles are doing.
Okay.
Like
okay,
with nerve
okay.
impingement specifically, a lot of times if I pin their rhomboid, I will put my other hand close to their arm where those nerves run to see if anything starts to twitch.
Oh.
So I'm like doing a stethoscope at the same time.
So it's like maybe this is me, you know, strained instrument brain or something, but it's like you are able to not play, but cause movements or cause interactions in the body that we aren't even aware of.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they're used as litmus tests a lot to see where a nerve is pinched or
I've had my fingers do that. Oh, I'm closing my hand, but like
right.
yeah.
That's a normal that doesn't mean that you're hurt.
No, but like when someone they
right.
like you know
your
what I'm trying to say?
Move, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, he did a chair massage on me and it was amazing. It was like the best one I'd ever. I was like, "Of course."
Of course.
Loser.
Yeah.
It's my favorite.
Yeah.
And so.
Were you competitive?
Very.
So you wanted to out?
I am still competitive.
You were like, get back.
That
I'm
is my secret. Like, that's the hard part about. So when I worked at that massage chain, we would get a list of our numbers. And again, like, I've never been good at anything.
Mm.
So if I'm sitting at that number one or number two spot, I'm eating it up.
Yeah, you're like, hell yeah.
Like, it is time. I'm going to up my game. I'm going to, like, slam these people. Just kidding.
Yeah.
But like, so yeah, I've always been very competitive with him.
Yeah.
The good news is we've gone into very opposite branches of massage.
Okay.
Like we are the two sides of the coin.
What are those two sides?
So I do a lot of, I don't know how to say this. I don't want to say medical,
okay.
but like very Western medicine based injury, rehab, sports, deep tissue.
Okay.
Like very tactile stuff.
Okay.
He does a lot of visceral manipulation, craniosacral therapy. He is trained and very good at ashiatsu. And so those are more like one, he's going to be on your podcast. He's ready.
The two qualifications that I like to go are is do you want to and do our calendars
do
line up?
Do you want to argue with somebody by proxy?
That'd be a hilarious call and response podcast.
Right? Oh my, it'd be amazing. Uh-huh. So he works on releasing trauma stored in the tissues.
Okay.
And this is a big juxtaposition because with the social anxiety that I mentioned earlier, even though I class myself as a very skeptical, hardline, cynical massage therapist, I will immediately judge you on your astrological sign.
Oh, okay.
That's my in. So I look at your chart before I've met you, and now I can peg you with space racism. And now I feel like, whether it's true or not, I feel like I know an angle to start with.
So, okay, if I was coming in for an intake...
I don't mess with your people. I don't understand. Your sign is like the junk drawer.
Because I'm Sagittarius.
Right. Like, I don't even know.
And I had a work from, you know, home back injury or whatever you were saying.
Right.
What would your...
He is chaotic and his hips hurt.
Interesting. Okay. what about someone who was born... I don't know what all the rules are, but someone who was born in, like, March. What is that?
Which half of March?
Really?
Is that the Ides of March? Everybody. Yes, I'm going to offend everybody.
I don't know what I'm stepping in because I don't, like you said, the space racism is a hilarious way to describe it. I've never heard that before. Let's say the end of March. End of March.
Well, those are usually Arieses.
Okay.
So I had a friend who asked me if she should date an Aries. And okay. I said, do you want to be arrested as an accessory? Oh,
God.
So that's a very offensive layman way of just saying they're a lot.
They're a lot of energy. So what does that mean for their massage, though? Like, let's say you had an Aries who just got, you know, done being arrested and just needed that massage.
First of all, I'm going to talk to myself and be like, you can't ask questions.
Okay.
You need to keep it together.
Keep it together,
I have my massage personality, but my natural personality wants to know.
Yeah,
wants to know their tea. I want to know everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I would just, with... Assuming, like, I'm just meeting a person for the first time and they have this sun sign, I'm just going to be like, they're probably going to be pretty lighthearted, but pretty committed to relaxation. Because, oddly, a lot of the Aries I know that are adults have committed to a steady meditation practice.
And whether or not this is based in, like, a textbook somewhere.
Right.
Anecdotally.
It's very anecdotal.
But in your experience, sure, how long have you been doing it?
Oh, my whole life.
If you had to guess how many people professionally have you given a massage to? Is that like a number that you keep track of? Or when you said numbers, that's what I thought maybe, but I don't know what you meant by that.
I think there's paper on it somewhere, but I usually it depends on how many people are repeat.
Oh, sure. Okay.
And, yeah, I'm pretty lucky. I tend to have a lot of repeats.
What if every single one just counted as one? Is that easier to think of or harder? I guess I don't know what I'm asking.
I can't even begin to assume.
Okay.
I want to put it in the thousands.
Sure. And with this mentality of, yes, okay, whatever. What is it called? Not astrology.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Has it ever steered you wrong?
No.
Huh.
But I also am not putting too hard of a line on it.
Sure, sure.
I think that the trick, honestly, is instead of really basing it in reality or hooking onto it.
Sure.
It's a placebo effect to make me feel like I have some knowledge going into this interaction.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like, I've tricked myself into thinking I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. So the power dynamic that you mentioned earlier is part of that, I guess, coupled with the specificity of the language that you have, is part of that because there is a piece of this that you just, like you said, how do you describe what it feels like to work on these muscles? There's like a piece of when a massage goes well or it doesn't go well that's just like really hard to pinpoint. It's like an art and a science.
Yes.
Okay. I'm with you.
It's knowing when it goes well, honestly, has only been an innate feeling.
Hmm.
And sometimes I'm wrong.
Have people like demonstrably like faked it maybe or said like that was great, but you know it wasn't?
You can usually tell. Like we do have – like I have met a number of people, and this is a regular phenomenon, where you do a massage with someone and you are borderline sure that they want to go slash your tires. Like they don't like you.
Uh-huh.
They don't say anything to you. They are clipped. They won't meet your eyes. And then they are booked out for years. They're going to see you every week.
Wow.
So I haven't had the opposite, thankfully.
Yeah.
But there are a few people where I'm like, you like this?
Yeah.
I can't tell.
Yeah. What about that Brené Brown quote where She said she was so proud that she told her massage therapist, I'd rather you just remain quiet, please.
And it love that.
Yeah, okay, okay.
I love that. That was another question. Because the higher the odds of me giving you what you want in your session, the better I feel. Because that's the outcome. You need to have a good session. You need to feel comfortable. You need to feel like your needs have been met. You need to feel listened to. It's your time and money.
Yeah.
People do not have a lot of either of those. And respecting it is very important. Like a lot, like I said, I do a lot of postpartum work. It's hard to get away from an infant.
Yeah.
You have to like organize everything.
Yeah.
And so let's say like you're in pain, you're stressed out, you really just want to lay down and have a quiet time. I also like my rule of thumb is if they don't like I had someone the other day that said, I really love chatting with you. I would super love to turn my brain off right now. Thank you so much. Like you are not going to hear a peep out of me. But the other one is to not start the conversation. So I will respond, but I try not to like speak unless spoken to, just so that they're in control.
Oh, that's really smart.
Yeah, like you, this is your boat, you steer it. I'm not going to I'm going to try not to bother you.
Is that a tip that you would give to like I guess my question, I have so many questions that I feel like I'm not getting your full answer and then I have another question. I'm sorry.
Right, and then like my answer distracts me.
Okay, is that a tip you would give to someone who maybe is listening to this and might want to explore massage as a career?
Yes.
Because that feels like something you can control from day one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of clients that will say, like, my other massage therapist is very chatty. How do I approach that? And so you just tell, like, boss them around.
Sure.
They can take it. I get very excited when clients are spicy with me. Like, they don't usually stay that way, but I've had people who are not having a great day or they're in a lot of pain. And they get a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm just so – I'm like, I'm going to like you.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because,
yeah.
You know, everyone's so nice to me.
What's your challenge? What's the current challenge for you with massage? What do you hope comes your way so you can get, like, better at it or learn more about it?
Professional language around boundary crossing. I have a huge problem with that.
Okay, I don't even really follow that. What is that, like, you or the client has crossed a boundary and
correct.
You – okay, okay, okay. I think I do follow.
So – there are situations that fall under gray area where the person might mean well or they didn't mean anything by it or they say something and they don't realize that that's inappropriate. I don't know how to say something in the moment that is not going to make both of us feel uncomfortable, that is not going to make an assumption about you or your character, that's not going to make you feel bad. And I also have a tone issue. Like when... there have been times where I try to say things in a nice way, and I know that it is not coming out well.
It didn't come out that
well.
Way, yeah.
And it's like, even when I am feeling nice, I have a tone problem.
Interesting.
And so that has been very, very hard, because if I, like, let's say I do have, like, a script.
Yeah.
And I could say something. I'm going to be so cognizant of, like, raising the octaves of my voice.
Sure.
Saying it like I just woke up from a nap. Like...
okay, so what's
very treacherous.
What's an example that maybe happened to you, maybe didn't, but like an example of a boundary that gets crossed in a massage session, either by the therapist or the client, not patient, client?
I think for us it's clients. For chiropractors, it would be patients.
Okay, okay. So,
or acupuncturists.
Okay, so for a client or the therapist, but it's not like you said, it's not like something, it's not like, okay, we're done here. But it's like a boundary that gets crossed that you need a course correction either way. What's one of those that might happen?
That one's really hard.
Okay.
I'm going to defer to illness instead of an inappropriate comment.
Okay.
Just because that is such a fraught area.
Gotcha.
So a lot of people have the misconception that they should come in and get a massage while they're sick. Right.
Sure.
And I really don't like rescheduling people. Because, again, you got out of bed, you came here, you're looking forward to this, you made this appointment, I'm about to let you down, and it's upsetting.
Yeah.
So many, many moons ago, when I was a young warthog, we had a sign in the lobby.
That was fabulous.
Thank you. We had a sign that said, in big letters, if you are feeling a little under the weather, please let us know so we can reschedule you. And I watched a gentleman read this. I watched his eyes go from word to word. And then I took him back, and he seemed demonstrably ill.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, oh, are we feeling under the weather at all? And he was like, yeah, I have the flu. And I was like, oh. And this was pre-pandemic, so we don't have masks on hand.
Oh, boy.
And so I immediately think, oh, no. I'm gonna make you mad now. And so I was like, would you mind terribly rescheduling? And he was like, why? And I was like, oh, no, the sequel. And I don't, like, my whole brain, like, traffic jammed. Because yeah. There are a lot of things I could say that I don't want to come off as insulting.
Yeah.
But, like, I have mucous membranes also. Yes. I have a respiratory system.
Yes.
And this is, I would not say this again, but I think what I came out with was I would rather cancel on just you than 24 people.
Yeah. Okay.
And it felt awful.
Did you ever see him again?
No. Mm. There are people that I've had to do that with that I did see again. Mm. I have one person that I had her reschedule because she wasn't feeling well, and it was her first massage with me. And she is still a client to this day, and literally every time I see her, I think about it, and I think, thank you so much for not just thinking I'm a jerk.
That's so hard.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like you have a different version of reality than the other person, because to come in with the flu would be a non-starter for me.
Right.
But I'm assuming this person didn't, like...
No.
Just didn't see it that way.
Yeah, nobody's coming in to be a jerk. Nobody's doing, like, germ warfare, you know?
Yeah, you would hope not.
I'm here to ruin you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't... And that's the thing. Like, I had a coworker who, when she worked, I think this was, like, 10 years ago, they sent an email out to all the clients. It was like, it's cold and flu season. Please come in to get a massage. But it was like... It was someone that didn't do body work was the owner, which is a whole nother can of worms.
Oh.
Yeah, it's interesting. But they were like, yeah, come feel better with a massage. And for fact purposes, it will not make you feel better. It will make you feel like hot garbage.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a good
idea. Yeah, it feels bad.
Mm. Okay.
Same with drugs and alcohol. Like, if you are on pain management medication, I am going to have to wait 6 hours to work on you because generally you're going to be feeling it a lot more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't want to put you in a car.
What did you do for COVID?
So,
as a massage therapist, how did that affect that industry? Maybe in ways, I mean, the obvious ways of no in-person for a while. But
it ruined my optimism. I was really surprised because I'm also very naive. So when we all were told to stay home and George Floyd was murdered and... Turns out a lot of people have a lot of extreme views that I was not aware of.
Yeah.
And so I was at home and I was thinking,
yeah,
wow, people are awful to each other. What is going on? How did I ever do this job?
Yeah.
But it was amazing. As soon as I came back, obviously I had a rotten attitude towards humanity in general. Mm-hmm. It took like one day of working on people to be like, oh, that's right. These people are inspiring.
This is why, yeah.
These people make me happy. This is an actual slice of real humanity where I leave every day feeling better about the world, which is a luxury because not everybody deals with that every day. If I were like a bill collector, I'd probably be a little more cynical.
It is amazing to just compare with that lens the different jobs as I rotate through my mind. Like,
right.
Who did I interact with that inspired me about humanity?
Right.
Not present in every job.
No.
No.
And I literally go to work where I actually want to be, like, on purpose. I would be there if I didn't get paid and I could still manage my bills.
Do you have to protect your hands in a specific way also? That was another question.
That's part of body mechanics.
Body mechanics. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You mentioned that. Because you said if you don't take care of that, you're going to retire early.
Right.
From, like, just injury or something.
I also, like, that comes down to previous injuries, your body mechanics, and then how your body was to begin with.
Interesting.
So I am built like a shit brick house. You cannot knock me over.
Okay.
I will throw you. And
that helped with hockey.
It really did. But when I first entered the industry, I was a very small person. Like, I was extremely petite. I could probably have stood to have regular meals more. But a lot of the clients that came in would be very patronizing, and they would say, oh, you sweet little thing, like, you go as hard as you can. And unprofessionally, I took the bait, and I would go as hard as I could, and that's not responsible.
Uh-huh.
But as a result, I got very good at doing deeper work in a responsible way. And so it also helps to be like, I'm very hypermobile. So a lot of times I get a more niche clientele that needs a little bit deeper pressure than most people ask for.
Yeah.
Athletes, police officers, social workers,
yep.
teachers.
Yep.
You guys are strung like harps.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Little birds. And so like I will do stuff where like I have planked, I've done a side plank on the wall. Like I will get halfway on the wall.
Yeah.
And then use my quad muscles to push off to generate pressure through my elbow.
That almost seems like riskier for you.
It's very risky. I had somebody who started like low chuckling out of silence while I was doing that. And I was like, what's going on? And they said, I realized if I rolled over, the pain would stop. And it's like, I check in about pressure, especially when we're at that level. And so I was like, okay, so if we want to go lighter, we can absolutely do that. Please don't move.
Because then I could fall.
Yes.
Like break my
tooth. I'll figure it. Like, thankfully, yeah. I usually have one leg ready to go. Huh. And like working as in cosmetology school, we had to do Brazilian waxes.
Oh, sure.
I can dodge.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I will not be horse kicked.
What is that like? As a
doing a Brazilian wax?
Yeah.
Awful. For me, there are lots of people who are very good at it.
I would imagine once you get good at that, you are...
I was not good at that.
Okay. Yep.
I worked for a wax chain for about a week.
Sure.
And the training was a little wanting in the sense that they were like, this is what you do. Okay, good luck. And then you would kind of be by yourself in a room torturing someone.
Yeah, it's
praying
just
that someone comes to check on you.
Unbelievable to me to imagine doing
it
that all day.
It was so hard. I was like, I can't take your money. I just hurt you.
Uh-huh.
But so I also, for deep pressure, most of the strength comes from my abs and my core.
Oh,
and so
cool.
This was interesting when I was pregnant because your abs will peace out in the middle of that.
Yeah, sure.
So I worked pretty much my whole pregnancy up to 37 weeks. Mm. And I remember the distinct session where I went to try to generate pressure and my body was like, you're going to have to try something else.
Yeah, that's not happening right now.
And it became really hard because I had to use all these different muscles because my abdomen was busy.
So I've never considered that a massage therapist is using their core as
yes.
intensely.
Because if you're just using your arms and your shoulders and your extremities, like they're not designed for that.
It makes me want to try. Like I'm going to offer a massage to
go for it.
It like somebody and
field
just
research.
Say, yeah, I want to try to. Huh?
You're done.
So, okay. So if someone is going to try, are there like safety concerns? Like you don't know the power you have within you kind of thing?
Yes.
Okay.
So
what's your disclaimer?
When I was in clinic for massage school, I had a gentleman come in and ask for full body deep tissue, but petrissage only. And
what's that?
Petrissage is a kind of massage using only your hands. You don't use your elbows. You don't use your shoulders. You don't use your knuckles. You're using your fingers.
Okay.
And
is there a reason for that?
I don't know what his issue was. I think he hates massage therapists.
Preference?
He just came in here like, I'm going to ruin some days.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So I did. I attempted it. It was a 90-minute, and I injured my wrist at like an hour five.
Damn.
And I did the rest of it one-handed, which was also not smart. But I talked to my teacher about it. She was like, you can say no. So,
yeah.
Like, I'll have people come in. Usually, work on the foot is primarily petrissage.
Okay. Okay.
So, if I have someone come in and say, I want an hour and a half just on my feet, no.
Mm.
I'm not the person for you.
Got it.
We will figure out a creative solution. We will get to your needs. Like, what are you asking this for? Like, that's something that comes with kind of doing a think tank with other massage therapists. Like, someone comes in and they want this. Like, how do you...
Sure.
Not just say no to their face. How do you accommodate their needs in a different way?
I think there was something you mentioned earlier that would be a particularly difficult person to say no to. What if somebody postpartum came in? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to imagine the scenario where, like, what you said you wanted to work on, but, like, was so special. Does that ever play into it where it's like, I know this is risky, but you're the exact person that I want to help, and this is the thing I want to do, and I know I shouldn't, but
is it that... depends.
It does, okay.
Because there are a lot of contraindications that people don't understand with massage. There are things that we could do that could hurt you if you have certain conditions.
Oh, sure.
And so that's my kind of line, is like, feasibly, is what I'm going to do going to hurt you? So, like, for instance, postpartum, generally the time period is going to be 6 weeks for a vaginal delivery, eight weeks for a C-section.
Yeah.
If you come in 2 weeks postpartum with a C-section, I'm going to have reservations because your body is doing a lot right now.
Yeah.
And I don't want to disrupt that.
So do people do that?
It's happened before. And it's just like,
they say, just stick to my shoulders, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's... there are partial contraindications too. So, for instance, like,
what is that word, contraindication?
Contraindication means it is something that would mean that you cannot be massaged.
Oh, okay.
So, a partial contraindication would be something like a sunburn. I'm not going to directly work on your sunburn.
Right.
Because I want both of us to have a nice time.
Yeah, that would be horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people want it. I've had people ask for hot stones on their sunburns, and it's just like, and again, it's,
why?
They're not being awful. So you have to kind of walk them through. There was one really big one. A lady had just had a 3-inch blood clot removed from her leg.
Okay.
That is very dangerous, obviously.
Yeah.
So with hot stones, the amount of vasodilation is going to be much higher, meaning you're going to get more blood flow, more circulation.
Vasodilate, their veins?
Yeah.
Okay.
So their veins dilate, and... the idea is when a muscle loosens and it gets more blood and more nutrients, it functions better.
Sure.
Generally, if a muscle is tight for a long period of time, it kind of beef jerkies. Not literally, but
sure.
But like
sure.
stuff kind of stops happening. It dries out. It's not as hydrated.
Sure.
So bringing blood to an area induces healing.
Okay.
Hot stones are great for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
But if you have just gone through this, you're not on blood thinners.
Yeah.
And you still have a lot of varicose veins going on or like risk factors for blood clots.
Okay.
I'm not going to use hot stones or do deep tissue below your heart because I care about your safety. And so this lady did not care for that. So she was like, can you explain medically why? And I was like, of course. So we sat down, we had to talk about it.
Yeah.
She got a 90-minute upper body. It was fine. She did doctor her paperwork and went to another therapist for the same thing. That part's none of my business.
Oh, sure.
But it's like, if we tell you that we can't do something, it's not to be a stickler. It's one of two reasons. One, we might hurt you, or two, it's something that we don't know a lot about. Because, like, there are some therapists that are very afraid to work with cancer. And
okay.
education around that is going to be the big help. Because I was afraid to work with people that were going through cancer treatments earlier on in my career. Thankfully, now...
Why?
There's so many reasons. And
okay.
Largely being...
I've never even thought of... This is just a new thought for me.
Right.
Yeah.
I've heard all kinds of reasons.
Okay.
And I just stayed away from it. Like, because everybody had some kind of old wives' tale about how you're going to, like, ruin their whole life if you massage them in this state. And me not taking extra classes or knowing about this,
sure.
I was like, sure, I'm just not going to touch it.
Is it like the chemotherapy or?
I don't remember
too
all
many
the
things?
Reasons.
Okay, okay,
yeah.
sure.
It was like there are certain contraindications. So like if you've had lymph nodes removed and there's like a risk of lymphedema, we're going to take that into account when we're massaging like extremities.
Okay.
But it's just sort of like a matter of knowing what you're dealing with. And I do think that if you don't know what you're dealing with and you don't know whether or not you're going to hurt somebody, to err on the side of caution. That said, again, at this point in my career, I have coworkers that are very well versed in this and
gotcha.
Have kind of explained to me, this is actually what you can do and what you can't do.
Okay.
So that's been very nice.
So, okay, selfishly, I started thinking about my situation, and I wonder if other people might be having a similar thought. If I offered my girlfriend a massage, mm-hmm. is there a risk? Or is it only for, like, the pros who know what they're, like,
it depends.
Flipping doing?
Because, like, so if your girlfriend wants a very deep tissue massage going from her ankle up directly
but
over
But I wouldn't
her,
even know how to do that.
Right.
Okay, okay.
Directly over her varicose vein.
Sure.
Then maybe you probably shouldn't do that.
I don't think I would. I don't think I know enough about what you just said to even know.
I'm positive there's some like stories of the ER where somebody was like
shit.
Doing
yeah,
a
you're,
well.
Yeah, you're probably right. Like some
he
amateur.
Was massaging
yeah.
his girl.
Oh my god. Okay, I didn't know that was a thing.
I feel like it would fall under freak accident because.
Okay, so
yeah, you're also not doing it for 90 minutes sustained.
No. That's
nobody has ever like my partner massaging me for. No, they didn't.
That's one of the most impressive things about professionals, that it can go that long, and you're like, okay. I mean, I don't know what you do to maintain that. That's the body mechanics, right?
This is a weird. I do think it's. I honestly think that my longevity in this career is completely due to body mechanics. The teacher that I was referencing earlier, that was a stickler on it, he passed away.
Yeah.
He passed away a long time. I love and miss him.
Yeah.
My core teacher said that, because I'm pretty sure he did not have a high opinion of me, but she said that he was like, he loved you. He thought of you like a confused but proud uncle.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Oh, thank you.
That's
I'm
fantastic.
Here for that.
Yes.
But like, stamina is a really interesting one.
Okay.
If you ask me to work 5 days a week for 2 hours a day, I will burn out immediately. If you ask me to work 3 days a week for 10 hours a day with no break, I'm fine.
Huh.
Yeah. I don't know why that is. But like, after we opened following the pandemic at the Wellness Center, that's what I did. I was like, I don't seem to have a problem with this. I'm not feeling sore or in pain. I'm not feeling ill. I don't feel like it's a long day. I show up to work. I do my work. I have little snacks in between for protein.
But it's not.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
The only thing that has ever exhausted me is like if I have a full day of brand new clients that I've never met, then I might be a little tired from like the mental aspect of it.
Sure.
Of like trying
to
read people that are new and paying particular attention to how to make this a good experience for them.
Yeah, I understand.
But as far as like I have a couple of clients where I will act like everything's fine. Like I will go absolutely ham and be like, no big deal. And then I'll like get out into the hallway and pass on.
Yeah. You're like, that was so hard.
Right. Like, wow.
Interesting. And it must be different for different people, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
People even have different effects on how time passes.
Do you have clients where you're actively working and massaging them for 90 minutes and you're like, damn, we're already done.
Yep. All the
time. That's incredible.
All the time.
That's incredible.
I'm terrified of flying. And so I used to have to fly to Las Vegas regularly.
Okay.
And the way that I would help to decrease my anxiety would be by saying, it's just 290 minutes. It's nothing.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So I have so many questions for you. And I'm noticing that we're already at an hour.
Right. Do you use it? Like, we can keep going.
We can keep going.
Yeah.
We obviously can keep going. You mentioned that, like, teachers, what are some other jobs? You said social workers, police officers, someone else you said had, like, stress.
Also stay-at-home moms.
Oh, for sure.
That's a
good
one.
I can see that.
What about stay-at-home caregivers, rather. I'm working on my own language.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yes,
yeah.
That's important. What sports are, like, an immediate, or I guess hobbies, but I'm thinking more sports. What sports do you hear that a client might say, like, oh, I do this, like, semi-regularly, and you're like, I have an idea of where you're getting screwed up, pal?
Rugby and hockey.
Rugby and hockey?
Yeah, especially with the clientele that come here. These are people who are like, oh, I was so lazy. I only ran 85 miles this morning. And it just like, oh, get it together.
I think it was the Gilmore Girls that was on in the background. I'm sure I'll remember this driving home, but I'm pretty sure that what's the daughter's name? Emily? Rory? I think it was Rory.
I just know it's Alexis Bledel because I love her.
Heard, yeah. I think she said to her mom going to college, someone knows the Gilmore Girls well enough to quote me on this. I don't know why I'm trying to do this, but she said, like, how's your roommate? She's like, well, she jogs. It was like, oh, enough said.
I was doing a watercolor class over Zoom with my husband and some of our mutual friends. And like, it was mostly like new moms in Nevada.
Yeah.
And so it was like, paint what you did this morning. And they're like, I went for a hike.
Yeah.
I like started a nonprofit.
Amazing. Okay.
I was like, I didn't.
So people who play hockey or rugby, what are their, should they be getting more massages than they do? Or does that community know that kind of?
It depends a lot on, again, the state of their muscles. So most people are on some kind of spectrum between flexible and stable.
Okay.
The more stable you are, the more you should probably stretch as a warm up so that you're not just freaking your muscles out.
Yeah.
However, if you're a little more hypermobile, that's where it gets tricky, where, you know, like a lot of people will do the same stretches. And I always recommend a PT for this reason to go with massage, because like it's not one size fits all with stretches.
Sure.
And so I think that massage is good for engaging the parasympathetic nervous system, the mm-hmm. rest and digest part of you. As far as making you more efficient in your performance, especially like dancers, dancers are very difficult to yeah. work on because they're so limber
yeah.
that on an average person, if I touch your muscle, I should be able to feel where it's bunching
yeah,
or where it's tight. On dancers, they're going to say like, I have extreme level 10 pain here, and all you're going to feel is like a wet spaghetti noodle. And you'll be like, I don't know what.
You're minding in the dark.
Kind yeah. of. You get to
interesting.
Like, you're like, all right, well, I'm just going to rub where you told me. Yeah. And then I'm going to do my own like massage therapy math on where this might be coming from.
Would that be like the apex, like massage? I don't know if guru is the right or the wrong word there, but like, would it be like the Moscow Ballet or something? It'd be like, oh, you do the massage for the Moscow Ballet. Like, you are a wizard.
Yeah, I've worked on like people who did Cirque du Soleil uh-huh. when I was in Nevada. And like, there are a few moves where I will like pull someone's ankle or do like a static stretch.
Yeah.
That features a joint with them. Oh, no. No, 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 no.
Yeah.
Because I don't want that coming off in my hand.
Oh, yeah. Got it.
I'm going to get a call from the insurance company. I don't want anything to do with that.
Okay.
And especially, so the prevalence of autoimmune disease is also a new thing. There, the amount of autoimmune disease cropping up is huge. I say this because Ehlers-Danlos syndrome is one of those, and it's characterized by having thinner skin and also being extremely hypermobile. So a lot of people who are dealing with that tend to have higher rates of dislocation. And then once you dislocate a joint, you're at higher risk to dislocate it again because sure. your ligaments aren't going back.
Sure.
So that's also something, like, I need to know that so I don't pull on you.
Okay.
Again, so, I shouldn't be pulling on people like
for
just
sure,
carte blanche.
For sure.
But.
Well, that brings me to a question that I meant to ask earlier. I'm 36. Mm-hmm. I used to run on treadmills every single day. Not for very long, but I used to. I liked it. We're talking like 5 minutes or under, like just a little bit. Got back on a treadmill this July. Probably overran the conditions without stretching enough. And my ankle has not been the same since. How common at my age or that level of... I just thought there's no way I went hard enough to like permanently hurt my ankle. And now I'm thinking maybe I did. What are your thoughts on that? My x-ray's in 3 days.
I don't... First of all, I'm wondering if your x-ray is going to tell you anything because...
The nurse line said that...
Are they going to be able to see soft tissue on that?
They said that they admired the fact that I was admitting
Lord
that I was wrong.
Wow. The nurse, the therapy line?
The nurse line for my health insurance. They
that
were
just
like,
seems very valid. Like,
they were like, this should have been something you did before, so good on you. It felt like an unneeded pat on the back, but they did. They were like, good on you for recognizing that you should have
thank you, nurses.
Done this sooner. But I wonder, though, because of that comment and also like... how easy it was for me to do this to myself. How common is that? And how many of us are walking around with like potentially serious ankle problems from
my
a treadmill?
Grandmother skydived, whatever.
Yeah.
She did that. And she walked around on like a broken foot for like 2 weeks. Like, oh, it'll heal.
She did?
Yeah. She was a lot. Like a wholesome lot. But
yeah,
she was very quirky. Like 90% of the acute injuries that I see is someone between the ages of 25 and 55, and they are irritated that they have to try to explain what happened. Because usually it's like, I woke up, and I looked to my side, and now my neck is broken.
My injury is pathetic in my mind.
That's
like,
why
it's,
I told, like,
it's almost embarrassing.
Make some stuff up.
I wish, and it was, in college... I tried to do parkour, which meant jumping from the like 1 foot raised brick potted like university foliage or like plants, bushes, whatever, you know, they have between the brick buildings. It was like 1 foot brick garden. That's what I'm looking for. And I was jumping between them and I hurt my ankle. And it's the same ankle in the same place where the injury is from the treadmill. And I've obviously I had time to think about this. That foot bends out a little bit to the right naturally. I've watched myself walk without thinking.
I actually know this about you. Like, you're a little bit.
Yes.
A little bit knock-kneed.
Yes. That all has to play together. Like, the body's basically just being like treadmills are evil. Why'd you do this? Am I right? Or what happened?
No, that's rude of your body.
Okay.
But like I said, ligaments don't go back. So like people who roll their ankle,
yeah,
they're going to do it likely if they continue to have like an active life.
I definitely did something
right
to my foot. It still hurts.
That's entirely possible. But like old injuries play into it too, because so if you think about like herniated discs.
Okay.
Some people have a disc herniation and now they can't walk, right? And they need surgery.
Correct, yeah.
Which is what a lot of people think of. Some people have like 8 herniations and they don't know it. Because it depends on...
Like, because they're Buffalo Bills fans and they jumped on a table?
Who is a Buffalo Bills fan? Who?
People in Buffalo?
I'm going to get hate mail from New York. Please don't. I don't want any smoke.
You want to pick an NFL team to start a fight with the fan base. It's probably not the Buffalo Bills.
Well, I didn't go for, like, anyone in Pennsylvania. So
yeah. Accurate.
That could have... Mm-hmm. I love your guys' teams, for the record. Go Penguins. Sidney Crosby's great. I have a Penguins
That's
jersey.
A CYA announcement. Yeah. Uh-huh.
It all... So if you think about your discs as, like, little jelly donuts...
Okay, yep.
If you smush a jelly donut, it depends on which way the jelly comes out. If the jelly comes out on a nerve, now you have problems.
Yeah, yeah.
If the jelly comes out in an innocuous direction, you might just be asymptomatic for a while. But, like, so let's say you have a herniated disc sitting there, and then you work at your desk, and you bend ever so slightly the wrong way, and the jelly moves, and now it's touching a nerve root, and now you have pain down your leg, and now you need to see a doctor.
Okay. I love this conversation. I love the answers you've given. I wish I could talk to you for another straight 60 minutes.
We'll have a sequel. It's fine.
Yes, I would love that, actually.
After my husband.
yeah, that would be... Honestly, this is a topic that I think I need to... I'm curious about, but I think people just should know more about.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, when I decided, I was like, I could talk about this forever.
You absolutely can.
It will be squirrels.
Yeah.
But my husband's going to sit down and be like, listen, what had happened was...
Okay, so one thing I want to do, if you're open to it.
Sure.
Is there a way for people who are listening, if they want to contribute time, money, resources, whatever, either to your career business or to a massage venture that you recommend or like an organization that you think is worthy, any of those things?
So when you said parkour, I don't know how much you've looked at about Sunu in general. Mm-mm. Like, I haven't said this, but this is working here is my Olympics. Like, this is, I have made it working here.
Cool.
I walked in, I was like, there is a pond.
Yeah.
I'm done. I'm good. I'm home.
Yeah.
We just hired a new chiropractor named Paige who has injected even more silliness into our general lives. But she did, I don't know if it went onto our media page, but she did like a fake parkour video where she was like, this is me after seeing me. And I can't say enough good about here. We do, the nutrition scan in particular changed my life.
Cool.
I was diagnosed with celiac disease. It's not fun. No. I love bread.
Yeah.
But like I did a nutrition scan here and it was just a very simple guideline to like, this is what's going on. This is what you should and shouldn't eat. And like night and day, I recommend it for people who are dealing with really serious digestive issues that they can't seem to solve.
Yeah.
I had never gotten chiropractic until I worked here. That was incredible. Mm. Another thing that people don't know about chiropractic is that you don't need to be manhandled.
Mm-hmm.
There are other tools that can be really gentle. Acupuncture is unbelievably effective. We do cupping.
Sure.
There's a whole East-West paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
There's shiatsu. I don't have time to explain all of these, but they are like, there's a reason that Sunu is sort of like a cult hit.
Mm.
And it's sort of like, it's very, very word of mouth and
Was it okay for me to link it then?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I will. That sounds great.
It's an amazing place.
Okay.
Like, we've had people who don't have services just have a hard day, and they come in, and they get some tea, and they sit in the lobby. Because you can do that.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm really happy about that. That's a great answer. There have been, I don't know, 30, 40 things you've said that were new thoughts for me, so thank you for that.
Of course.
I knew that you knew what you were talking about, but I also just have to say, like, the put together reasoning behind your answers is really impressive. And
I was worried about that because, again, like if I'm in Target, my answers are going to be a joke to like, how are you?
I will just
mess that up.
I've never thought about the science and the art blending in the way that you put it. So thank you.
I think it would be a personal hell for anyone who did this job who wasn't enjoying every second of it. It's constantly engaging your mind.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. I could keep going.
I know.
I know you said it, that this is the time that is the hard out for, you know, your personal life. So I want to respect that.
Thank you.
I will wrap it up there. But if in the future you ever want to, I would love a part two.
I just want to talk about massage all the time.
We can do that. We can do that. Okay. Well, June, thank you very much. On a podcast note, I can be reached at tellcarlsomething@gmail.com. And due to us running right up to the minute, let's just call it there.
Bye, kids.
Okay. Bye-bye.